is a News 1130 special report.
We are here with Kate Bird, author of Magic Moments in BC Sports, A Century in Photos. It's available from Greystone Books. First of all, good morning, Kate. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks so much for having me.
All right. So this is your third photo book after Vancouver in the 70s and City on Edge, which we've talked about before. What inspired you to take on a sports theme this time?
Well, I'm a big sports fan, and when I was working at the newspapers, I was sort of known as the sports librarian because I did a lot of the sports projects for the newspapers because of my interest in it. And so when Greystone Books approached me, I had different ideas for my third book, and they wanted a sports book. I was all in. I thought that'd be great. And I knew there were fabulous photos, so it was a good place to start.
And what were some of the highlights of putting together this book for you?
Well, I contacted the photographers at the Sun and Province, past and present, and asked them to send me some of their photos. So they made it easy for me. Some of the photos were just fabulous, that were their favorites or award winners. So I started there. Of course, certain athletes had to be in the book. We have so many fantastic athletes from British Columbia. So looking for photos of them. And then I wanted to spread it out and have more sports represented, more community sports, recreational, kind of cast a wider net on sports around the province.
Now, you mentioned many of the images were ones you were already familiar with, but did you learn anything in this process that you hadn't known before, either about the sports photography or the history of sports in BC in general?
Well, when I started researching more about the early years, and I realized how difficult it was in the early days for athletes from British Columbia to participate, to try to go to an Olympic trials, for instance, that was in Ontario. They wouldn't have any funding, and it was very far. And so even to have BC athletes represented in the Olympics in the early days was really challenging. For instance, when Percy Williams went to the 1928 Olympics in Amsterdam, where he won gold in both the 100 and 200, becoming the fastest man in the world. He came from nowhere. No one even knew about him because the media didn't cover him in the main centers in, say, Toronto and Montreal. So he seemingly came from nowhere.
I guess for all intents and purposes, nowhere was just past the Rockies.
Right, exactly. So it was really challenging for those early athletes. They didn't have the coaches. They didn't have... So it was just their own initiative, really, that that got them to where they, you know, what they achieved. It was quite amazing for the time.
And any surprises in putting this book together?
I was really interested in having more women represented than in a lot of sports books, and also a lot more diversity. And I was very interested in how sports brought communities together, immigrant communities, organized teams, and in many cases, they transcended their community and became known to a wider group, such as the Vancouver Asahi baseball team or the Chinese men's soccer team. There were Musqueam lacrosse teams. And so that was really fascinating how many different ethnic groups were participating in all different ways around the province.
A lot of firsts in the book as well. And I was happy to learn that the NHL's first Asian player was Larry Kwong from Vernon. So many stories like this in the book. What are some of your favorite firsts in here?
You know, I love some of the... Anne Marat was a marathon swimmer, and she was only 13 when she swam from Vancouver to Bowen Island in the 30s. You know, I mean, who was doing that? It was amazing. She went on to have marathon swimming records in the Okanagan, and as a swimmer myself, I really admire her her achievements.
Now, as you say in the book, and I'm paraphrasing a bit, so mind you, these are not just sporting events, they're a social history of our province. How do you think events like starting from, say, the Empire Games all the way up to the 2010 Olympics, how do you think those help shape our culture and our lives as British Columbians?
Well, I think that, you know, the idea of sports as often bringing people together, either as fans, the experience of being a fan. I was hoping that people would see events that they were at, perhaps, in the book. I was there when Rick Hansen arrive back from his Man in Motion tour, and there's a photo of that, and I just remember that day so clearly. And but also just the Champions of Our Own is the name of my essay in it, and in a way it's that celebration of somebody who's gone off and done something amazing. When Percy Williams returned, there were thousands of people that came. When Nancy Green returned from winning at the Olympics in 1968, all Lower Mainland school kids got the day off school to come to the parade, and there were hundreds of thousands of them at the Whitecaps parade. It's a way, and of course, what we saw in the 2010 Winter Olympics, the crowds in the streets, it was such a wonderful atmosphere. That sort of bringing together people from all different walks of life is a really bond, can be a very bonding experience, or of course, can end up in a riot as well.
Which was covered very well in your other book, City on Edge.
That's
yes.
Right.
I noticed there's a conspicuous by their absence were riot pictures in this book. But getting back to this idea of these events as a social history, so in one sense, I get the strain of, if they can do it, I can do it too. And then in another, it's that shared culture of that coming together. And you mentioned Soccer Bowl in 1979. And then for a more contemporary audience, the memory of, say, the hockey gold medal in 2010. And these are things that bring us together as British Columbians.
Yes, and you know, some of the big events that have also taken place here. In 1954, Vancouver hosted the British Empire and Commonwealth Games here. And it's not just hosting a big event, which was televised kind of for the first time. And so there was an exposure of the city to a wide range of people around the world, including, of course, the Miracle Mile race, which was the most famous event in the, but also the legacy of venues. So for the games, they built Empire Stadium, which was, of course, the home of the BC Lions, who had their first franchise game just maybe a week after the games finished. So having that venue, and also it inspired coaches' interest in athletics in general, you know, those kind of legacies that go on. Same with the Commonwealth Games in Victoria, being a very big event hosted there, and of course the Olympics here, and the lasting venues that came from that Olympics. Now the Richmond Oval is a center of excellence for all kinds of sports.
Another venue not far from the old Empire Stadium, of course, is the Pacific Coliseum. And by 1970, Vancouver was an NHL town, beginning, as you so perfectly put it, a fervent and sometimes a dysfunctional love affair. That pretty much sums up the last 50 years in a nutshell. Why do you think the Canucks fascinate us still?
Oh, I think it's just, you know, I have a quote in there about in the early days, how they weren't very good, you know, the team, but people just love them anyways. And I think even now, just with the signing of Brock Besser, it's just an obsession. I mean, you have these hopes, and every season starts with hopes, and is often dashed recently. But think of all the great years with the Twins, and you know where we were so successful in the regular season. For we got used to it, and now it's up and down, like with every sports team. But as a fan, that's just the way it goes.
I think as fans, we've become used to the mantra of "there's always next year." 80s as well, I notice in the way the book is divided up, that seemed to be the age of the individual hero, like Terry Fox, Rick Hansen, even Steve Fonio. What is it about them that captures our imagination, these individual efforts?
Well, I think, too, that somehow British Columbia has produced these three heroes. I mean, Steve Fonio did run all the way across Canada.
Yes,
so
he
achieved this huge goal, even. And so I think that one inspired the other. In the book, there's Eugene Reimer, who was a wheelchair athlete. He inspired Rick Hansen and Terry Fox, and they played basketball together. Rick Hansen was a world-renowned disabled athlete before he ever did his Man in Motion tour. And Marnie Abbott Peter was inspired by Rick. It all sort of went together. And I think that the funding that was provided, the kind of training for Paralympians here is second to none. It started a culture of excellence in disabled sports that has seen many people achieve great things.
And jumping off of that, you could say that Rick Hansen continues in his work to make the world a more accessible place for that.
Yes,
matter.
Absolutely. And I think that the fact that all those they all inspired each other. It was a chain of events.
All right. Any ideas for future books? We've had Vancouver in the 70s. We've had City on Edge. Now we have Magic Moments in BC Sports. What else sort of tickles your fancy in the BC history books?
Well, a few things. I've been asked many times after doing the 70s book whether to do the 80s.
Yes.
Mainly because the 80s here were really interesting in lots of ways. We had Expo. We had, lots of people are interested in the 1980s, so that would be one that could be fun.
Could that be next?
Could be. Spoiler, I don't know. Because nothing in the works.
Expo is quite the watershed because for when you look at the generations of people, do you remember Vancouver before Expo or after Expo? I mean, we just had the passing of Fred Herzog, who really explored that gritty frontier terminal city that existed and that was, I guess, wiped away by Expo.
Yes.
And the City of Glass. So that would be a very interesting study.
Yeah, and in the 70s, you know, what I explored in Vancouver in the 70s was just how gritty it was at the beginning of the 70s and how much more tarted up the city was by the end, with all the building, and there was a huge building boom and skyscrapers were built. And then that was sort of setting the stage for Expo and the building, the SkyTrain. It really did change the look of the city and forever.
Mm-hmm.
The building up to Expo and a lot of other events politically, as I say in the books, I tried to explore different pictures that reflect the news, crime, everything of the time.
All right. Well, if I get a vote, Vancouver in the 80s for sure.
Okay.
All right. Let's leave it there, Kate. The name of the book, Magic Moments in BC Sports, A Century in Photos. It's available from Greystone Books. My guest on Bookshelf today, Kate Bird. Kate, thanks again for coming in.
Thanks so much.
You're listening to News 1130, Vancouver's breaking news, traffic, and weather station.